God's plan and having not human vision, but the vision of God, the things that God wants you to see that he has available for you today. Because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And there are so many people who believe and live their Christian life that they get saved, they come to Christ at the cross, and then they know that they got to follow Jesus and live according to his word, and they do that. And we could live purely and principled for our whole life. But really, a lot of Christians, we just, our whole, the emphasis of our whole Christian life becomes Sunday, coming to church, going to Bible study. As good as these things are, God has much more for you. And what God wants to give you is his power upon your life. So that you not only be a person who is saved, has come into the purity of God and the principles of God, you live by those, but you also have become powerful in the hand of God. And there are many Christians who have not come into the power of God, but God wants to bring you and give you his power. In fact, his power is central to his purpose for your life. And you must understand, in if you go to Luke chapter 3, Jesus, it says in Luke chapter 3 verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, who was baptized, while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. See that word? And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So Jesus did nothing till he had this experience where the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's when his ministry started. His ministry started at that very, very point. He didn't attempt anything until the Spirit of God came upon him. I spoke about God wants you to have his power. When this experience of the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he then preached the gospel and he cast out demons and he healed sick people and he raised the dead. He did things that you can't humanly do. And when I talk about the power of God, I ask people sometimes, what is the power? Because some people think the power of God is tongues. Some people think the power of God is the gift of healing. Some is miracles. They're all manifestations of power. But what is the power of God? If you have the power of God, what is it? It is the Spirit of God upon your life. Now, that's really important to know, because the Holy Spirit is the key to the Christian life. We must understand the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spiritual person of God. Jesus is in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. God's in heaven, but the one who is with us now is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said a few things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, he said, when I go to heaven, the Spirit of God, in John 14, verse 16, he says, the Spirit of God will be with you, and he's with us to lead us to Christ. The Spirit of God convicts us that we can't make heaven with sin in our lives. And he convicts us that we need to be forgiven for our sin. And he shows us that Jesus Christ came and died for our sin. And his blood washes us clean and reconciles us to God and makes us fit to heaven. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He does all that. We don't do that. So he's with us to do that. And then he comes to live in us. In John chapter 20, you see Jesus came. The disciples were in fear. And they were in the upper room. And it says Jesus came to them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At that moment, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came because they were believers in Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to indwell them, their temple, their hearts. The Holy Spirit came to live within them. And when he lives within us, he changes us from the inside out. He changes us from being angry to being self-controlled, anxious to being peace. The Holy Spirit does that. It's the person of God in the form of the Spirit living within us, changing our lives and producing the very likeness and character of Jesus. But Jesus also said something else. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said to the disciples, he said, "It is not for you to know the times which the Father has put in heaven." Sorry, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you." And in Luke chapter 24, he said the same thing. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So Jesus basically said, he did nothing till he had this experience when the Holy Spirit came upon him and empowered his life. And he said to the church, before you do anything, before you get a theology degree, before you go off to Bible college, before you read, he said, you got to wait. And the same experience that I had at my baptism has to come upon you to make you effective. And then you can be my witnesses. So the Spirit of God coming upon someone's life is so central to the work of God. It's so central to the plan of God. Jesus didn't do anything till he had the power of God upon his life. And he said to the church, don't you do anything, don't try, until the same experience has come upon you. So, and he wants each and every one to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life in power, we call that the anointing. This is how Peter described Jesus' ministry. He said, I want to tell you how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he produces the power of God with your life to do good. And when the Holy Spirit is upon you with power, God is with you in power. I've said many times, God can be with you, but having God with you in power is another thing. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, with power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, for God was with him. And he said to the church, don't do anything until you get anointed with power too. What is the effect of when your life becomes anointed with the power of God? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "It shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." When the power of God is upon your life, it's just a fact that the devil wants to put you in yokes of bondages. The devil can put a yoke, a chain, a bondage of anxiety upon your life, of depression, of fear, of addiction. These are spiritual things that he binds your life with and you cannot get free. What frees you is the anointing. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, suddenly you're free indeed. And that's why I say to our worship team, it's so important that upon our worship team, they have the anointing, the Spirit of God rests upon them. Because if people come into this church and sing nice songs and there's a great performance, I said, they're going to go out with the same depressions. But when the anointing is in the church, they leave free. Because it's the anointing, the power of God upon a church or a life which breaks yokes. Things just start to break off your life when the Spirit of God is upon you. It breaks yokes, and you can break yokes off other people's lives. You see, this yoke breaking off people's lives. You see, in Acts chapter 3, there's a man who is paralyzed. And Jesus left him for Peter and John to minister to. And he was paralyzed, and Peter and John came to him, and he was sitting there at the thing begging. And they said to him, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. What did they have that was more valuable than silver or gold? They had just received the anointing of God upon their life, and the spirit of paralysis was broken off the guy's life just like that. It says in Acts chapter 5 that Peter, they would lay people on the streets, and they said, when Peter passed by, that his shadow would heal them. Now, I tell you, is there any power in a shadow? There's not. But why Peter could heal them is Peter at Pentecost had become overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, there's something that God wants us all to understand, that he wants for all of us to walk in, to have the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. I remember I was in Pakistan one day, and we had this crusade, and I came into this crusade on a camel. And as we came in on a camel, people started to fall. Bang, 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 bang. They just fell under the power of God because it was the anointing. And then we got up on the stage, and they brought this lady who was like a young girl. She was like an ironing board. She was like a board, and she was so bound by the devil. Her eyes were black, and she was so tormented. And God said to me, he said, just worship. Just stand over there and worship. And I just stood over her and just worshiped God. And after about 3 minutes, she just jumped to her feet and said, I'm free. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit setting captives free. So there is anointing. God wants to put the anointing upon each and every person's life. And I really feel like I'm particularly speaking to young people today, that God wants to give you a vision for your life. Not just young people, all people, but particularly young people to delight. He doesn't want you to think that being a Christian is supposed to be an ordinary life. You're supposed to have a vision for being extraordinary in the hands of God. And every time I preach this, I feel like 1 in 10 grab a hold of it. And if 1 in 10 grab a hold of it, I'm happy, because one person who has the anointing upon their life is worth 1,000 Christians who want to sit in the pew. So God makes this available to us. And when you have the anointing, if you go to 1 Samuel, we all know the story about David and Goliath, don't we? We know the story about David and Goliath. And he runs at Goliath. And when David turns up, Saul, which represents just the religious spirit, Saul and all his soldiers are looking at Goliath and they're cowering in fear. But David turns up. And there's something different about David. He's got a different spirit. He says, how dare this guy defy it? I want to run at him. I want to run at him. And I know that he's going to be destroyed. Well, how did he know he was going to run at him? Why did he want to run at the giant? I'll tell you why he wanted to run. In 1 Samuel 16, before he runs at the giant, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And the Bible says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, a power, and a sound mind. What that speaks about, it's the element of the Spirit, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God coming upon your life. When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, you fear nothing but God. You just don't fear anything, because you know that God is with you, not as a theory, but you know he is with you. So when the anointing breaks a yoke, the anointing delivers your life from all fear and makes you as bold as a lion. Oh, God wants to give the anointing to all. Some people you struggle with certain things in your life. God wants to deliver you and change you. But you shouldn't be discouraged, because Peter struggled with things. And Peter, he failed Jesus. He failed him dreadfully. He said, I won't run from you. But then when the rubber hit the road, he did run from Jesus. And he failed. But Peter was changed. In Acts chapter 2, the same Peter, people that Peter ran from, He stood up before them and he preached with his life on the line. This same guy that ran away, a couple of chapters later, is standing, preaching before the same people that killed Jesus, and he's fearless. What happened to him? It's like Peter had become a different person. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 10:6. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." You become something more than you are when the Spirit of God comes upon you. You'll be turned into another man. Another dimension's going to come on your life. You're going to be much more than you were. Turned into another man. Turned into much more than you could ever be. Change from a person of fear to a person of bold faith. Change from a person of anxiety to a person of confidence. The anointing, it actually breaks everything off your life that the devil's trying to bring you. And it brings the knowledge that God is with you and nobody can stand against you. That's what the anointing does. And God wants to put this upon everybody's life. I tell you, God said to me many, many times when we've gone to places to preach where it's hard, and God has said to me many, many times, he said, if the devil can't stop you getting saved, he has a plan B. If he can't stop you being saved, his next thing is to stop you being anointed. Because he knows if you're saved but not anointed, you're not really a threat to his kingdom. You'll get to heaven, but you won't be used to set people free. But it's so exciting. You know, when the anointing's upon your life, I see some people, they've been Christians for 40 years. And sometimes they go through seasons where they still doubt their salvation. They still doubt whether God is real. I want to tell you, once the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, you'll never, ever, ever, ever doubt God again. You'll never, ever doubt God again. Because his power is upon your life. You know, it's if you go through the Bible, I haven't got time because people are having such fun testifying today. But if you go through the scriptures, everybody that God uses effectively, powerfully, you see they have this experience. When I say the Spirit of God came upon Saul and it turned him into another man, it happened with everybody that God used. You go through Gideon. Gideon is called by God and God says to him, he's hiding in the wine press threshing wheat. So Gideon, when we meet him, he's fearful of the Midianites' enemies. He's fearful. And I always say he's stupid because you can't make wine out of wheat. But that's not the point. He's fearful. He's living in fear. And he's hiding in the wine press. And this same Gideon who was hiding in the wine press, afraid of the enemy, the next chapter, he's got an army of 120,000 in front of him. And he's got an army of 300. And he says, let's go. What changed him? In Judges 6:34, you see this phrase, the Spirit of God came upon him and he blew the trumpet. The power of God hit his life. All fear was broken off. And he said, we cannot fail because God is with me. And you go through all the book of Judges. Whenever anything supernatural happens, you go through the life of Gideon. You come to the life of Samson. Before Samson ever does anything, you know, Samson's the guy who could break flax, who could slay, you know, 100 people with a jawbone. What was his key? What was the key to all that? Every time he did something which was powerful, it says the Spirit of God began to move upon him. And the Spirit of God came upon him mightily and he tore the lion apart. And the Spirit of God came upon him lightly and he went down and he killed 30 of their men. And the Spirit of God came upon him mightily and he tore the ropes with his arms like flax. He had no power, but the power of God had come upon his life and given his life a dimension that was uncommon. When the Spirit of God came upon them at Pentecost, I want to tell you what happened. When the Spirit of God came upon them, they were waiting. Jesus, it actually came and rested upon their lives. And it said, tongues of fire came to rest upon their heads. When the Spirit of God comes upon your life, the anointing is often called the fire of God upon your life as well. The evidence that the anointing had come upon their lives and the power of God had come to place, it says that the Spirit of God came and there was a flame of fire on all their heads. 120 of them received the power. The flame was upon them. Now, I want to show you something. This is a prophetic picture of the end time church. Moses was walking through the desert. He was walking through the desert. And it says, he saw a bush, and the bush had a flame upon it that would not go out. And he turned aside to look at it. The bush is something very, very ordinary. And God put a flame on something very, very ordinary, and it made Moses turn aside. When the anointing hits your life, people are going to want to hear what you got to say. When the anointing hits your life, people are going to come to you and try to provide for you. When the anointing hits your life, when the Spirit of God is upon you, people want to turn to you. I tell you, it's supernatural. There's a dimension of God, and until the church universally rediscovers the importance of that, the world doesn't care. The world will not turn aside. But when the power of God is in a church, people start to turn aside. Turn aside. I want to read you a passage because I don't want to preach long. I feel God's given us a prophetic picture today. From John chapter 12, it says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That's what happened when Jesus came to Jerusalem. Let me just say another thing that the Spirit of God does. When the Spirit of God came upon Jesus' life, this is for Jesus at his baptism. If you go to Luke chapter 3, the Spirit of God descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove upon him. A voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So when the Spirit of God came upon his life, also at the same time came the Spirit of Sonship. That's why John 15 says, I'll pray to the Father, he'll give you a helper. That's the Holy Spirit. He'll abide with you, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor hears him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life in power, he also brings a spirit of sonship and he delivers you from the orphan spirit. Delivers you from the orphan spirit, which so many people carry. But the Holy Spirit comes in power. You know you're a son. You know. Because you've become like the Son. Pure, principled, and powerful. Now the passage I just read from John chapter 12 about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and some people took palms and they cried out to him, Hosanna. And Jesus was coming for a donkey, the foal of a donkey. And prophetically, in the prayer meeting this morning, God was showing me, what was the donkey? What was he going to do? The donkey was about to carry the glory of Jesus. He's about to carry the power of God, which is Jesus. And God invites people to carry the power of God in their life, like the donkey, to actually carry the power of God. See, one of the things that David learned when he brought up the ark from Jerusalem, the first time he brought the ark up, I don't mean to get too theological here, the first time he brought the ark up, the ark represents revival. The ark represents the presence and power of God. It was in the ark. And the first time he brought it up to Jerusalem, he tried to bring it up on a cart, which the cart represented the latest thing, like the latest ministry, the latest fad. You can get revival, or you can get the power of God through the latest thing. You can't. And then he learned the only way that the revival or the power of God would come into Jerusalem, he got the book out, and he says, no, this ark actually has to be carried on the shoulder of priests. And David learned that the power of God is not bought by a machine, it's carried on the shoulder of priests. When someone sets himself apart for God to be a priest and a king, he puts the power of God upon their life. And they carry that into regions, into nations, into your workplace. I tell you what, God wants you to be someone like Peter. When you go into work, you just know all things are possible. Because God's with you in power. His power is with you. There's nothing that you cannot do. There's nothing he will not do through you or for you. Now, the passage I read, there's a choice there, I believe. God is saying that donkey carried Jesus. It actually carried the power of God. But there are other people in the passage, people who have a palm branch. And they, when Jesus comes in, they wave it around. They say, Hosanna is he. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's all very impressive. But that very same crowd, they cried that on Monday. On Friday, they were crying, crucify him. And I believe there are many fans of Jesus today in the kingdom. There are many fans of Jesus. We love him. We're fans of Jesus. But if you are just a fan of Jesus your whole life, it's not enough. It's not enough. I've seen too many fans of Jesus walk around in circle without a vision, and without a vision, sooner or later slide back into sin. God says to you today, do you want to be a fan, or do you want to be someone who carries the power? Do you want to be a fan, or do you want to be like the donkey who actually carries the glory and the power of Jesus upon your life? Before the donkey carried the power of God, he had to be loosed. And I believe God wants to give people the power of God upon their lives, but you need to be loosed. You need to be loosed from devices, things that of the world that just distract you. You need to be loose from fear and anxiety. You need to be loose from things the devil has used to bind you from seeing the true plan of God for your life. God doesn't want you just to be an ordinary Christian. He doesn't want you to just come to church your whole life and never see the sick healed through you. Never see the power of God move through your life. Never see you receive a gift. See, when the power of God comes upon your life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit start to flow. You start to receive the word of knowledge. You start to receive a word of wisdom. You start to receive the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracle. That all comes when the power of God comes upon your life. And you either want to be someone who is used by God, who is turned into another man, who is delivered from fear because the power is upon your life, or you want to just be an ordinary Christian. God, he wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. He wants to give you not an ordinary life. His plan as a son is to make you distinct and extraordinary. Distinct and totally fearless. Like Gideon. No matter what you're looking at, fear has no place in your life. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. He wants to break every yoke of depression and anxiety so that you are not only free, but you're truly free, and not only free yourself, but able to free others. He wants to make you so certain that you're saved and you're his child, you're his son, that you never doubt again. Spirit of sonship is upon your life. And he wants to make you somebody who carries his power and fire that people turn to and say, what is it about your life? What is it about your life? What is it? You're different. You're distinct. I want to know your Jesus. Because the power of God is upon your life. That's it. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Father, I thank you. Thank you. Paul said, I didn't come with pleasant, precious words, but unless I empty the gospel of its power. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of words, but a matter of power. It's a matter of power.